Good evening and welcome back to Matt's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Matt, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages with mental health issues, addictions, and in-school issues. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, an outpatient clinic, an inpatient program, a yeshiva liaison to help get a child in school, any addictions, molestation, drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be, feel free to give us a call. The call could be anonymous and it's confidential. Our number is 718-758-0400. We offer parent support groups, so maybe you want to jot down the number, be yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you would usually sit next to in shul. Maybe you'll pass the number on to them. We have parent groups that are by Zoom now. We also have social distance. So for one of our groups, all the other groups are by Zoom. So feel free to give us a call. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Tonight, I have with us somebody that I've read about so many times for so many years and know about the books that she authored. She has 38 children's books, and that is no other than Bracha Goetz. And I'd like to welcome her on tonight. How are you, Bracha?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here on this program. I love the work that Mask has done, and I've been an admirer of you for many years. So,
Thank you. I cannot do it, Bracha, without my wonderful staff that's available all day from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night, answering the hotline and helping families from all issues. And we recommend that, you know, people must be wondering, why do I have an author of children's books on tonight? But we recommend prevention. Let's not wait until something becomes a huge issue, a huge problem. Let's look at the elementary age children. Let's see what's going on in school, whether they have learning disabilities, whether they have an eating disorder, whether there's some trauma, whether they were molested, whatever it may be. It doesn't go away. Let's work it from a young age. Call MASC for prevention so that we can get you to the right professionals so that it doesn't turn into a bigger issue. And I just want to mention that Bracha Goetz is a Harvard-educated author, and she has, 38 books that help children's souls shine.
Yes.
That is your focus. And
yes,
by the way, everyone can find her books on the Amazon page. So on the author page, feel free to check her out. That's Bracha Goetz, G-O-E-T-Z. So let's get right to it, Bracha. We are speaking tonight about, you have a new book. And I was very surprised when I saw it advertised. It really, like, I really was curious about it. I said, what is this book all about? It had a very interesting name. And I said, this doesn't seem like a children's book. And I checked it out, and it's called Searching for God in the Garbage. And it's a memoir. And I'm wondering, why did you write this memoir? I I mean, if you're an author for children's books, what came first? Did your issue help you become an author for these children's books? Or writing these children's books, did it bring you back home to your own?
Such a great question. I love how you said it. You know, I wasn't brought up observing. I wasn't brought up religious. And I was brought up in a wonderful, loving home. And what's fascinating about that is that I still felt there was something missing. Even though, you know, it was very sweet parents, everything was great, and my soul was starving. My parents were not into spirituality. I didn't have that in my life, and it was something I was searching for. I actually searched into many different religions. I searched in social action, environmentalism. I tried experimenting with just about everything because I was always a curious person. And, you know, what I've done now after I was able to get the spiritual nourishment that I was craving finally, I wanted to write the kind of books that I wished I had as a child, books that could nourish souls and children's souls. And I try to write about the deepest concepts in life in a very simple and joyful way so that anybody could understand them. And that's what I've been doing. I want to write for the girl I used to be in the books that I wished I had when I was young. You know, I didn't really start searching until I was 12. But, you know, had I had that information and knowledge and nourishment for my soul early on, it could have saved a lot of years of pain that I experienced during those searching years. Yeah.
Right. Wow. So how did you come to this provocative title of the book? You know,
yes.
Searching for God in the Garbage.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of a jarring title, Searching for God in the Garbage. How can you put God and garbage in the same phrase? It's like, it's jarring. And that explains those difficult years that I had. In the worst parts of this book, it's a very candid memoir. It's from ages 12 to 32. So it basically goes through developing the eating disordered behavior that I had and how I healed from it. So at age 12, this is a book that I really didn't write. It wrote itself because it was compiling my diaries and journals and letters that I had saved through the years. And when I discovered them, I put them all together, not completely, of course, just the most important parts. And I saw the thread. While putting the book together, I was able to see the thread that tied my life together and understand what I was searching for and how I was able to heal, how getting the spiritual nourishment that I was craving, why that put an end to the addictions, why there was no longer a need for the addictions when I got what I really needed. So the title, basically, it's actually describing one of the worst candid moments that I share in the book when I was searching through the garbage for food. It's a very, literally, very lowest point in my life. And it's also a metaphor because I was searching for something valuable that had been thrown away, something that people had tossed in the garbage that I never got to experience in my life, that spirituality. I was searching for it, and when I would redeem it, I would redeem still valuable things that had been thrown in the garbage. That's what I was searching for in life. Very often, people's addictions and the way they act out is kind of a message, a metaphor for what their internal struggle genuinely is. So that's what the title is about. It's on many levels. And also, one other thing I want to explain is that it's also about how in the general society, really God is being thrown in the garbage in many ways. It's like you can't even say the word God when you're talking about things now. Like, it's like something that you can't, and I'm talking about in the general society, we can't discuss that anymore. It's being taken out. And as it was thrown away at like the turn of the century too, when you know, many people came here from Europe and things like that, it was just tossed in the ocean. So basically, this is what we have to refine, and in order to nourish our souls again. Yeah.
Right. And we speak about spiritual basis when it comes to addiction. So, you know, there's the Blue Book, and there's the 12-step meetings, and there's the sponsorships, and, you know, people that are addicted to whatever it may be, they get a sponsor, and they call them every day, and they cheer them on, and they go to meetings with them. There are 12-step meetings. Let's talk about the spiritual basis to addictions, but how people can nourish their souls.
Exactly. This is something I love to share. This is something new that I've discovered, and here it is. What got me to become observant and religious years ago was actually Rav Noach Weinberg's teachings. When I went to Israel for the summer, I was in medical school. After I graduated from Harvard, I went to medical school. And after my first year of medical school, I spent the summer in Israel. There I got to listen for the first time to hear things that got to nourish my soul in the deepest way possible. And one of the most, I was always searching, what is the meaning to life? That's what I couldn't understand. I would go around all different religions, searching every place, what is the meaning? And he said something that I'd never heard before, that the purpose of life is to experience the greatest pleasure possible. What? That doesn't sound like something you would hear from a rabbi, you know. What to experience the greatest pleasure possible? And then he talked about the five levels of pleasure. What I realized recently, this is a new discovery I made, is that that there are actually five levels to the human soul. So the five levels to the human soul, they correspond to the five levels of pleasure. The lowest level of pleasure are the physical pleasures. What happens with addictions is that people get stuck on the lowest level. Why? Because there's not enough pleasure in the person's life. If there's not enough pleasure in the person's life, food, for instance, is one of the most basic pleasures. It was designed to bring us pleasure. In other words, food could have been tasteless, and it could have been had no aroma and no color, and we could just eat the substance and get the fuel that we need every day. But no, it was designed with tremendous pleasure. It was designed to be beautiful and like the fruit are the ripest possible when they're ready to eat. And when they're most ripe, they're the most attractive, beautiful colors, bright colors, and with aromas and everything beautiful about them. And to be delicious, too. So they bring us immediate pleasure. The problem is that people get stuck on that pleasure. I once saw a video of my 600-pound life. A person was... Well, it's videos of different people who are over 600 pounds, and they all say the same thing. They all say that they were nothing else is giving them pleasure in life. That's where they're stuck, because food does bring pleasure, as do other physical pleasures. And people can get stuck in other types of addictions like that because they need more pleasure in life. So, and this happens because people think there's a scarcity of pleasure. They feel that for who knows what reasons. It could be abuse in childhood. It could be neglect in childhood. It could be a traumatic experience they went through. They need more pleasure in their life. And so they get stuck on what brings immediate pleasure. But the amazing thing is that is the lowest level of pleasure. That's the level of pleasure connected to the body. On the next level up, I call it the pleasure ladder on these five rungs. The second level is love. Now, it doesn't mean waiting for love, waiting to be loved by someone else. It means, as Rav Noach Weinberg's definition is, Rabbi Weinberg's definition is appreciating something about someone else. So in other words, it's the next level of connection. On the lowest level, we're connecting to an object that brings us pleasure. On the second level, we're connecting to another being, another human being, or an animal even, that brings us pleasure. Like we can appreciate, sometimes even taking care of a pet can bring a person to a place of loving something outside of themselves. So, or a person appreciating, and we can always, no matter why, we all are empowered to be able to focus on something we appreciate of someone else, adding more to one's life. And then the third level is meaning, bringing more meaning into one's life, doing positive things of meaning. The fourth level is creativity. When we are doing something creative, and then a person that, like, if you think of just in terms of food, you don't even think about eating or sleeping. You're just involved in the creative pursuit because you're creating something wonderful in the world. That brings a tremendous amount of lasting pleasure. And then the highest level of all is called transcendence, or a state of awe. It's the state when we can recognize the oneness of everything, the unity, and it's the state of highest and greatest connection. So the highest level is really when the deepest level of our soul is getting the fulfillment that it needs. So basically, we can't stay at that state always, in the highest state, but we can get glimpses of it. Like even on a starry, starry night, a person has a sense of connection to the entire universe. We sense how we are connected to everybody and everyone else, everything and everybody. And so it is recognizing that there are these five levels of pleasure. It helps a person understand that there's an abundance of pleasure in this world and that this world was designed for our pleasure, and then we don't have that sense of scarcity. When a person is involved in an addiction, they feel alone. It's a sense of loneliness. And so each level of pleasure adds more connection so that the illusion of isolation is lifted. And then there is no longer a need for the addiction because a person's life becomes infused. The main message that I am loving to share, and it's not arbitrary, these five levels. It's actually based on the levels of pleasure, levels of soul, of every human soul. And so I just hope more and more people can become aware of this very deep and ancient truth that can bring so much more joy into everybody's life.
Well, thank you for that. I'm just wondering, Bracha, what was your original focus or goal when writing your children's books? What brought you to writing those books? You wrote 38 children's books. That's like over the top amazing.
Yeah, well, all of them are about helping children's souls to shine. Like my one book that's known a lot is my Let's Stay Safe book, and that's about helping to protect children from abuse. What I did in that book was basically it normalized prevention of sexual abuse for children by putting it in the middle with many other normative prevention of other ways to prevent all safety measures, all different types of safety procedures that children should do, and that's one of them, to protect children. And I had another book also on that subject, which is talking about personal privacy, which focuses in that book, the focus is on protecting the precious body, how each child's body is so special, and that we have a right, and we empowering children to know that they can say no and to report. And these were kind of breakthrough books, And these books may not seem so spiritual, but they are, because they're about protecting the soul. I worked for years coordinating a Big Brother, Big Sister program, and that, you know, from this I've learned many times, of course, one of the things that leads to addictive behaviors is the abuse of children in their childhood. So the amazing thing is that there are parts of the soul that abuse can't reach. So, like, as Mask teaches, never, never, never give up, because there is a part of the soul that the abuse could not reach, and there is a resilience. It's miraculous that everybody can heal, and that's because there's a part that remains pure no matter what. So we have to nourish every soul. No matter what's happened to the child, they can still shine again if gotten the right nourishment that the soul is craving. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You can go ahead.
Other books, like I just write, like, one book is Let's Appreciate Everyone. That book is about helping us. Helping children understand how to interact with children with disabilities. That's another actual risk factor, too, for problems with addictions or other mental problems that come up, too. Children that have disabilities, some of them are visible, but some are invisible. And these are the children that don't get invited to parties so much. They don't get invited to play dates. They are eager in some ways to interact, but they don't know how to interact as well. They may not have the social skills. So this book teaches children how to interact better, how to include people more that may be sitting on the side and don't know how to play a game and how to get involved. With physical disabilities, how to sit down next to a person in a wheelchair, be on the same level with them, dealing with people who are blind or deaf, and introducing a child needs to introduce themselves right when they walk up to them and say goodbye when you're leaving, all types of things which people may not know unless they're taught this. And the importance of smiling and staring, that's really major. Always, again, creating more and more connection, because that's what we all need. There's other books, you know, too, like an invisible book is just, it's just about explaining that there's so many invisible things that we accept. There's gravity. We all accept gravity. We accept electromagnetism, which is, you know, why does a magnet pick up a paperclip? It's invisible. Why is that happening? And feelings and thoughts. These are all invisible, and yet we believe in them. Why? Because we see the powerful effects that they have in the world. And so our souls are invisible. And so we could say we look just like physical beings, but we are all spiritual beings housed in physical bodies. That's the clothing that we wear, our physical bodies. And so in this book, it's a very simply written book for children, the invisible book, but I'm explaining that we all have invisible souls. We all are invisible souls. We're spiritual beings just housed in physical bodies, and that's how we do good things in this world, through our physical bodies. And so it's all different ways I have that I've been. That's my purpose. One of my purposes here is to help souls to shine. And from early on, if we can infuse children at an early age with an understanding of how to be happy, that's the Happiness Box book, or Aliza in Mitzvah Land, how doing things for other people brings joy into our life. If we learn these things really early on in a joyful way, then our entire lives, our souls can shine, and we can spend so much more time helping other people and much less time suffering in addictions. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the real way to make progress is by change, but we shouldn't focus on
teenagers. We need to focus on elementary age, the younger children, like you say in your book, teach them about all these things. Years ago, we didn't have all these wonderful books when kids were growing up in my days. I think
right.
It's wonderful, your whole list. I looked over the list one by one, and like each one is a gold mine for emotional wellness and to help the younger children, because we need to give the younger children today the words, the understanding that it's okay to speak about what you're feeling. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to discuss our traumas. And that's different than in the years that we grew up. So for today's kids, I recommend highly people go on to Amazon. And this is not a commercial for Bracha Gets. This is not an Amazon commercial. This is about getting the word out there that parents may want to buy their children something for the holiday, may want to buy them for a Sukkot, a prize, pick up your home. So many days together. We're in quarantine, a lot of families today. Schools are getting shut down. Kids are home. Families are together. There's a lot of we time now over this holiday. So I'm recommending the best thing you can do is read with your children, buy them these books, and, you know, get the conversation going. Let them know it's okay to speak about what we're feeling. In many different areas, there are so many different topics that are absolutely really wonderful. And I want to thank you, Bracha, for all your wonderful books, including the most important one in my book is Searching for God in the Garbage and the Spiritual Basis with Addiction. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all you do to help enlighten these topics in our communities, so by writing these books. Thank you. It's wonderful having you on, Bracha. Thank you for being on.
Thank you so much, Ruchama. Your work is truly an inspiration, all your staff, and like you say, never, never, never give up, because our souls can shine no matter what they've been through.
Absolutely, and I'd like to wish you and all my listeners a good Gibbench Yar, a happy, a healthy, sweet new year for everybody, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, virtually hug tight. Tonight's show is in memory of Simcha Shmuel Ben Moshe. And please remember, go online, massparents.org. Donate. Be our partner and help saving lives. Donate online. Thank you, and have a good night.